I started out pastoral ministry when I was 25 years old. I became a pastor when I was 25. I started at my first church when I was 25 years old, 2 months after I graduated from Nia College undergrad. I know. It's crazy. The church must have been desperate because, I mean, who would trust a 25-year-old to not just only lead a congregation, but to start something from nothing? And so they brought me in to start an English-speaking congregation. And I was overwhelmed, as you think you would be, being 25, fresh out of school, big heads, small hands, not much life experience. And so here I was, about almost a year into it, I realized how overwhelmed that I was, that I just really didn't know what I was doing. So almost for the first year, I faked it until, you know, I realized I couldn't fake it. So I did what anybody would do. I decided I need more education. I mean, if you don't know what to do, just go to school. And so I went back to, I went to seminary to get my MDiv degree, because somehow, having an MDiv degree makes you a real pastor. Well, at least that was, you know, my time period. All real pastors had a Master's Divinity degree. And so here I was going to school and learning and saying, you know, if I got myself an MDiv, then I would know how to be a pastor. But praise the Lord, in my time at school, I was able to meet my mentor. My mentor was a professor at the school, and we were able to be connected, and he became my mentor, Pastor John Ng, or Professor John Ng, and who I affectionately call PJ. And he was my mentor. It was such an amazing relationship that I had with him, because he spoke wisdom and insight to a young pastor who was confused, frustrated, and overwhelmed in the Chinese church, who imparted upon me his wisdom, and who gave me his encouragement and his love when I struggled. He listened to me babble. He listened to me complain. He listened to me being angry. He listened to me in all those things. He was with me in the joyful times, in my times of success in ministry, and he was with me in my times of failure in ministry. He was with me through the good times of my life. He was the one that actually officiated my first wedding, and he was the one that was there when my first wife passed away. So he was with me, and praise the Lord, and I remember what he used to say to me, Ron, you are like a jagged-edged rock that God is trying to smooth out so that he can use to defeat giants, right? And then later on, as time began to move, I started another church ministry, and this is after my first wife had passed away, and lo and behold, another mentor came into my life, because my mentor, he began to retire, and I guess when you retire, you ride off into the sunset a little bit and are not as engaged. And so here I was, God gave me another mentor, and he was the senior pastor of the church that I was at, and also he was the director of the Chinese Studies program in which I was a part of. And when my first wife passed away, he came looking for me because I was in a not very good place. And he came looking for me, and he loved me. He took me, and he spoke to me, and he gave me a safe place to be. And we had a great mentoring relationship because he spoke into my life. And then the church split took place. He fell, and he took about half the church with him. Our relationship was broken because I chose not to go with him. And when that took place, I felt a season of being lost. Because I asked myself the question, I have no more mentors. Who is going to speak into my life? Who can I talk to? Who can I process things with? Who can walk alongside with me? It was such a very scary moment for my life. And I believe that the disciples, in many ways, felt that way when Jesus told them, listen, I'm about to go back to the Father. Imagine that. The disciples who have spent 3.5 years intimately being a part of Jesus' life. When I mean intimate, I mean every single day practically. They went with Jesus wherever he went, right? If Jesus was sleeping under the canopies of the stars, they would be sleeping under the canopies of the stars. If Jesus was eating fish, they would be eating fish. If Jesus was walking here, they would be walking there. And so they spent 3.5 years so intricately a part of each other's life, right? 3.5 years seeing each other day to day. I mean, for some of us, when we go on a retreat, we feel like we get to know a person a little bit more deeper because we somehow spent a little more quality time. Imagine the relationship that Jesus had with the disciples for 3.5 years, seeing each other face to face. Imagine how Jesus imparted upon their life, spoke into their life, and now Jesus is saying, hey, listen, guys, I'm going back to the Father's house. Peace, see you later. I won't be there, you know, no more. And when the disciples heard this, they were scared. They were afraid. What do we do now? How do we move forward? I mean, Jesus is everything. If he's not there, what do we do with our life? We just gave up everything to follow him. And he says he's going to leave? What do we do with our life? They felt lost. They felt confused. They felt scared. And in John 14, Jesus says, I am going to go. Peace be with you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Right? My peace I give you. And then he says, right, I'm going to go to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare for you many rooms. And, you know, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. And when you go, I'm going to go there, okay, and I'm going to get the house ready for you guys, right? And I'm going to come back and pick you up. And the disciples are like, no, why? Right? And in here, Jesus tells us about such a profound thing that he would do for the disciples while he leaves, right? In John 14, verses 16 through 26, he says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. The word you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So here it is. This is the context in which this passage takes place. We know that Jesus has already told the disciples, like, listen, I'm going to leave. And the disciples are like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Right? And so here is Jesus telling them that don't worry. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave with you. I'm going to ask the Father to send you another advocate to be with you. Right? He's saying, I'm going to ask the Father that when I go back to him, that when I leave, the Father is going to send you another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And so this sermon series we've been going through, the Holy Spirit, begins to teach us and show us, what does the Holy Spirit actually do? Now, many of us, we hear a lot about the Holy Spirit in some circles. It's the Holy Trinity, is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Bible. Right? We really don't know much about the Holy Spirit. We really don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. We kind of treat the Holy Spirit as kind of like the stepchild of the Trinity. the awkward one, the one that we really don't relate with, we really don't talk about. And so our sermon series is designed to help us to have a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. And so here is this word that Jesus says. Jesus says that when I go to my Father, I'm going to ask my Father to send you another advocate. So by saying that, another advocate, Jesus is saying what? That he's the first advocate. Now I'm going to ask my Father to send someone who is going to represent me to you, that who's going to be just like me to you. Right? Now this word advocate is such an interesting word, because if you read this translation, if you read this in different translation, this word advocate is translated in other words. It could be either translated as advocate, counselor, helper, comforter. And we're going, huh? Why did they translate this word in so many different ways? In fact, you know, when we look at this word, this Greek word here that's translated as advocate is the word paracletes. And paraclete is only found five times in the Bible. And as you would have it, every time this word is used, it's used by John. Come on, John. He uses this four times in the Gospel of John, and he uses it one time in 1 John chapter 2. This word paraclete gives us this picture, right? It comes from two words, right? Alongside and one who is called. Para means next to, alongside, right? Clete means someone who is called. So this word together just simply means someone who is called by God or sent to be a person that is alongside you, right? And so this is what Jesus promised to his disciples was. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who's going to come alongside you and represent me. He's going to be for you what I was to you, right? But here's the amazing thing. He says, the Holy Spirit that's going to come is going to be in you and alongside you. So, okay, we know, all right, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come and paraclete, come alongside us, inside of us, to represent Jesus or to be like Jesus while Jesus is away. So what that basically says is then that the Holy Spirit then is going to be like Jesus to the disciples and us while he's away. So what was Jesus like to the disciples? Right, the Greek word paraclete also is a legal term. Right? The word by itself is a legal term. If you got in trouble in the Greco-Roman world, and you know you have to stand trial, you don't go up there and represent yourself and say, "Hey, yo, I'm innocent." Right? You're gonna find a paraclete. Now, a paraclete is not necessarily a lawyer. A paraclete is the most influential person you know that's gonna get up there and speak on your behalf. Right? That basically means this person's got to have some stuff. Got to have some influence and authority and you know, that can sway people and to talk on your behalf. It's like somebody coming up and vouching for you. Right? And so that's what that term paraclete means. Right? To have someone that will come alongside you and speak on your behalf. Isn't that what Jesus did for the disciples? When he prayed for them, when he vouched for them to the Father. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, as the advocate, the Holy Spirit which lives in us and next to us, among us, right? It basically means that the Holy Spirit vouches for us to God the Father. Right? That's why in Romans 8 it says the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're a child of God. Or when words are not adequate for us to pray, the Holy Spirit prays our moans and groans to the Father. Right? And so the Holy Spirit advocates for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf to God the Father and Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is in us. How does the Holy Spirit understand what's going on in our life? Because he's in us. How does the Holy Spirit understand what's going outside of our life? He's alongside of us. And so when the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, the Holy Spirit is the advocate for us. He's speaking on our behalf. He's representing us to God. Well, then there's another word, the word counselor. Right? What does a counselor do? I mean, those of us in our modern term, we look at a counselor as someone, you know, he's a shrink or she's a shrink. You know, we go there, sit back, and we just emotionally dump on them, and, you know, they give us a few words, tell us, okay, this is how we can fix our stuff. No, this word counselor in time periods when there were kings, kings had counselors, a council of people, his inner circle. I mean, even the president of the United States have a cabinet, his inner circle, counselors, people who advise him on all these stuff. So all the stuff that's happening, people are advising him to do it, right? His advisor, people who know a lot more than economics and all the other stuff than the president, because there's no way the president can know all of the stuff. Same thing, no way that the king can know all those stuff, right? And so they have these counselors that will give advice, right? Information, advice on what to do, what to know. And so what is the function of the Holy Spirit then as a counselor of our life? The Holy Spirit is then to give us insight and information about what's happening in our life. It's going to give us information and insight about what's around our life. The Holy Spirit's going to give us guidance on the steps that we need to take. Now, how does the Holy Spirit know this? The Holy Spirit lives in us and alongside of us. Therefore, what the Holy Spirit does is that when we begin to struggle with things and all of a sudden we have this eureka moment, like, oh, I got it. I have some bad news for you. It's not because you were smart. I know you may think so. It wasn't. That was the Holy Spirit being the counselor and all of a sudden give you this insight. Or all of a sudden you didn't know what to do and all of a sudden you got it. You knew what to do. I know you may want to believe that's your own intelligence, but I'd like to suggest to you that was the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does, right? To be our counselor. What about this other word, right? Comforter, right? When we have friends, and I mean, when we have someone who is alongside of us, when we have friends, I mean, we all have friends, right? I hope so. If you don't, I'll be your friend, okay? You know, don't worry. You know you have a friend in me. If you ain't got friends, don't worry. Don't worry, I'll be there for you. But we all have friends, right? We know what it means to have close friends, right? Close friends is someone we can always pick up our phone and call them, hey, yo, how are you? I'm not feeling very good. And they say, why? And then afterwards, we talk to them. And we just feel just a little better. Any of you have friends like that? Yes, right? If you don't, I'll be your friend, okay? If you don't, I'll be your friend. And life is very miserable when you don't have those type of friends. I'll be your friend, okay? So, right? We all feel that, right? We feel that comfort. All of a sudden, we feel so terrible, and then all of a sudden, we talk to our friend, and our friend just, you know, listens to us, and sometimes we feel so terrible. Our friends say, listen, it sounds like we need to see each other face-to-face, right? Just for that time. Let's see each other face-to-face. How are you doing? And then all of a sudden, we just feel this sense of comfort, sense of peace, even though no problem's been solved yet. But we just feel just a little bit better. Now, if you live life, you know life's got problems. Not only does life have problems, but sometimes things in life just kind of bring us down a little bit, doesn't it? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And then sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced it, you just experience this supernatural comfort your circumstance in life didn't change. Whatever people said to you wasn't mind-blowing. But all of a sudden, you just felt like you were comforted. You just felt you were at peace. Right? Just let you know that wasn't because you took some, you know, gummies. Right? It's because something was at work. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and the Holy Spirit lives in us. That's the Holy Spirit's work there. What about this word helper? Yeah, I mean, we all can need a little helper here and there sometimes, right? What do helpers do? What's the definition of helper? Someone who can figure it out or help you get something done. That's the definition of the helper. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced God helping you. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't, just give you a little sidebar. Maybe you should let God help you. Some of us haven't experienced God helping us because we haven't let God help us. We say to ourselves, I got this. I can do this all by myself. But God will help us through the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, the Holy Spirit can help us how to pray. The Holy Spirit can give us courage in how to approach things. The Holy Spirit can help us by giving us the right words to talk to people. The Holy Spirit can give us courage to face things that we're afraid of. The Holy Spirit can sometimes align circumstances and situations that solves our problem. That's the helper. And so, the Holy Spirit, who we call the advocate, paraclete, is the other advocate. So, then what that tells us is that the Holy Spirit then does everything that Jesus was doing when Jesus was here on earth. Because Jesus says this, I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to ask Him. I'm going to go talk to Daddy, and Daddy's going to send you another person just like me. But this person, you won't see like you saw me. But this person's going to do everything that I did while I was with you. This person, yes, the person's going to be by your side like I was by your side, but you can't see him. Because this person's going to live in you. This advocate, this is the Holy Spirit in which I will send you to be like me. Now, this is such a powerful statement that Jesus is telling the disciples. Here it is, the disciples are half scared out of their mind because the first thing that they come on their mind, they're thinking, what are we going to do with our life? We just spent 3.5 Jesus rolling with Jesus, looking like superstars, right? Looking famous and everything. We're rolling with Jesus. We've experienced Jesus cast out demons, and He told us to do that. And some of us did that. You know, look, Peter's going, Lord, I walked on water and then I sank, but still, I was able to float for a few seconds there. Right, that was pretty cool. They're thinking this, like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do now with our life? What are we going to do when Jesus is gone? What choices do we make? And Jesus says, don't worry. I'm going to send someone who's going to be just like me and is going to do the exact things that I did with you. And that is the Holy Spirit. Most of us get confused with the Holy Spirit because somehow some of us treat the Holy Spirit like this hocus pocus magic thing, that we summon the Holy Spirit by saying, come Holy Spirit, be, you know, all, it's like this mystical thing that we perceive the Holy Spirit to be. It's like when we say come Holy Spirit, we think it's a magical chant that somehow invokes the Holy Spirit to do our bidding. That's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's first and primary task is to represent Jesus, to be like Jesus while He's away. To us. So that basically means that the Holy Spirit task, yes, will give us revelation and insight. Will speak on our behalf with God. Will be our helper. And will comfort us just like Jesus comforted the disciples to us. So the Holy Spirit isn't just this hocus-pocus magic thing. But the Holy Spirit is given to us by Jesus while he's away. And so therefore, if that is true, then the Holy Spirit and our understanding of the Holy Spirit matters so much, and that it will impact our life in the way that we live our life. Because guess what? Jesus right now is sitting in the right hand of God. He's waiting for his time to come back and deliver a beatdown to Satan like he's never seen it before. Right? He's going to give Satan the smackdown like he's never seen before. And because he's going to win this war, and therefore we're all going to be in eternity with God. Jesus is waiting for that time, and only God the Father will tell Jesus when to come. Right? So that's the truth. But in the meantime, while we're here on earth, we're not left alone. Because this period, since the day that Jesus went to be with the Father, is the age of the Holy Spirit. This is the time period in which we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. This is the time in which the Holy Spirit moves and acts and does his thing. And so if we're going to reject the Holy Spirit, and we're going to push the Holy Spirit aside and say, well, I only believe in God the Father, Jesus the Son, and what the Holy Bible teaches us, then we are basically saying to God, listen, the advocate you sent, I don't need him. I can do this by myself. And here's the thing I'd like to suggest to you. That's exactly what most of us as Christians do. We say, I got this. I don't need anyone to come alongside me. But we do. We do. And not only do we have that person is always there, ready, willing to be our advocate, to be our helper, to be our counselor and our comforter. The problem is, we choose not to access the Holy Spirit. And here's one thing I know about God, is God is not a God who's going to force us to do anything that we do not want to do. He's not to force himself on us. He didn't force Adam and Eve to choose him. He didn't force the Israelites to choose him. It was always an invitation. If that is true, then God is not going to force the Holy Spirit upon us. We have to say yes to the paraclete, to be a part of our life. We have to say yes in allowing the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to be our counselor, to be our helper, to be our comforter. Because we may think that we can do perfectly fine without the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, no. We may not be able to. And that is why Jesus said, I'm going to ask my Father, and he's going to send you another advocate, and he's going to be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. And he's going to live inside you, and he's going to be beside you. You can't see him, but he's there. Just as he's saying to this, but just as you could talk to me and ask me of anything when I was with you, you can do the same with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do the same things that I did when I was with you. That is who God has left us with. That is who Jesus has left us with until he returns. But if we choose not to access that, we're living under our own power, our own intelligence, our own wisdom, our own skills. And we all know that no matter how smart we are, it can only get us so far. But when we begin to access what we have. When we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit will do, life change will take place. Things will begin to take place. As I was telling you, after my first mentor, retired, and then my second mentor fell, and we no longer had this relationship, I was at a season in my life where I asked myself this question: who will mentor me now? I felt scared, felt confused, felt a little bit lost. Like, who do I talk to? And even to this day, I ask the question: who can mentor me? Right? Who can mentor me? Because I'm, not to boast, I'm at a season in my life where I'm, I've almost been in ministry half my life. I have experiences, I have skill sets, and I'm at an age where there's still more to go. Who can speak into my life? I ask myself this question. I've been asking myself this question for the last 10 years. And I began to realize that, and even in my prayers, I asked the Lord that He would send a mentor, and God refused to send a mentor. And it began to dawn on me. And the reason why the God was refusing to send a mentor in my life wasn't because He didn't want anybody to impart in my life. It was because I was leaning on my mentor more than I was leaning on the Holy Spirit. I was like, whoa. That was an awakening moment. Because what I saw in the last 10 years after I no longer had a mentor was, I was more attuned to who the Holy Spirit was and is. I began to be more dependent and reliant on the Holy Spirit. I began to pursue the Holy Spirit more. Not because, I knew better, but because this is what God was doing. God was teaching me how to lean in on the Holy Spirit, to trust that He is in me and beside me, to allow the Holy Spirit to be my counselor, to give me wisdom, discernment when I didn't know what to do. Because trust me, as a church planner, I had no clue what I was doing. I was basically going through a direction in which I had no map, no guidelines. It was just something far away, and I had to figure it out. Right? Nothing in all of my years of ministry and all of my years in school prepared me for church planting. It was just like sailing off into the ocean blue without knowing where you were going. That was church planting for me. But the Holy Spirit was my counselor. Led me to what I needed to do, the steps I needed to take. Brought in the right people in which I needed to speak to, or the right people that came and just spoke a few sentences and it was like a chain reaction that explode a amount of wisdom and insight. It was the Holy Spirit that comforted me when every time I look at our financial report, because our financial report for every year was red. Deficit, deficit, deficit. It was the Holy Spirit that I can ask for help when I had no clue, when people were coming to me and asking me for help. Pastor, my marriage is about to fall apart. My life is in shambles. And I had no human wisdom what to do. And the Holy Spirit came alongside me to give me revelation, insight about what was happening in the person's life, and gave me a word to speak to the person. The Holy Spirit was my comforter when the church plant closed. The Holy Spirit was my comforter when people began to leave our church after COVID. The Holy Spirit was my advocate when people who are leaving the church were basically saying stuff about me. When people leave the church, sometimes people don't know how to leave graciously. they leave to justify why they left. And often when people justify why they leave, it always throws somebody under the bus. And it just so happens that I was thrown under the bus. But the Holy Spirit was my advocate and spoke on my behalf, because people who were around me, they spoke up. It's through this last 10 years that I didn't have, quote, unquote, an earthly mentor, that I began to understand who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and what my response should be. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit is beside me. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to be like Jesus while he's away, and to do what Jesus did with the disciples here, with me, in my life, and in your life. So maybe what it needs for us to do, for us to fully better understand the Holy Spirit, is just simply by saying yes to the things that he wants to do in our life. He lives in us. He lives beside us. He is our paraclete, who God the Father and Jesus has sent to be with us while the Father and the Son are in heaven waiting for the day that we will unite with them. That the Holy Spirit is with us. And if that is who God has left with us, what is preventing you or I from allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent to do? Maybe for some of us, it may mean that we need to put down our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because some of our understanding of the Holy Spirit is fear. Because we see what certain groups do with the Holy Spirit and say, "Whoa, that's a little strange there. Thank you very much." Nope. Right? And we get scared and confused. Maybe we need to put that down and begin to reopen up our heart and our mind to who the Holy Spirit really is and what the Holy Spirit really does. And sometimes those things, that strange things, yeah, it does maybe happen a little bit. But that's not the only reason. Maybe what we need to do is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent to do in our life. And just by putting ourselves in that open posture that we talked about in the beginning of our sermon series. Just to have that open posture and say, "Holy Spirit, come. We're open for you to move and to work. Because this is what the Holy Spirit does." We're sent by God the Father, Jesus the Son, to represent Jesus, to be our paraclete, to live in us and alongside of us. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to you for who you have sent. Jesus, we thank you for requesting Jesus to come, for the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of our life. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will lead us and guide us, that you'll help us to put ourselves in this posture of welcoming your presence in our life and yielding ourselves to you and allowing you to work in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As it is with the first Sunday of the month in our church,